In our study of the Gospel of John, chapter 4, we looked at the woman at the well. She had no knowledge, practically, experientially, of God or His grace. And the Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with her as we've studied in chapter 4. She understood that He had to be a prophet to know her heart and mind. And as we proceeded along in the context, she came along and realized that the Messiah is the one who can put this all together. She said, "You must be a prophet, and the one that can do it all is the Messiah." Now, so we stopped, and the Messiah, Christ, the Anointed One. Now, so we took a moment to look at the Lord Jesus Christ is the prophet of all prophets. And in chapter 1 of Hebrews, verse 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And all of the prophets, as we looked at last time, point to the Lord Jesus Christ. All the scriptures, all the prophets, all the psalms, all the historical books, they all point to who I am. And all of them. So as you turn the pages of history, all of them are pointing out the wonderful presence of God and His plan of redemption. Now, verse 2. Hath God in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. So God, having used all the prophets to point to the prophet, our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, we looked at that in Deuteronomy chapter 18, etc. And in the process, Moses said, "There's another one coming greater than me. I, a prophet among all prophets, talk to God face to face. There'll be another one face to face with God greater than I am." And that was pointing to the Messiah. What did the woman say at the well? "I know Messiah cometh. I know there's a Messiah coming. I don't know Him. I don't know how to talk about Him. But I know one is coming." Now, in the light of that, so God has spoken in these last days by His Son. God is the prophet of all prophets. And the Lord Jesus Christ will say, remember, the Father will say of the Son, "Hear ye my Son. Hear my Son." God has spoken in the last days by His Son. And so God is revealing His wonderful person to human beings throughout history by way of His Word. By way of His saving grace, He is the Creator. He is the only God, Isaiah 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48. He's the only God and the only Savior, the only Savior. And thus, humans need to understand that God has given a wonderful revelation of who He is. All of the prophets gave the word scriptures that you have from Genesis to Malachi or 2 Chronicles, as you wish, all the way to the end. And all of those pointed to one, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one. He is the one, the only one. Thus, God reveals Himself by His Son. The Word become flesh, John 1:1 and 2 and 14. The Word become flesh. The Word was with God and was God and became flesh. So God, how can we handle You, the invisible, infinite God? God put Himself in a human body, born in Bethlehem of Judea, so that we could see physically a human being. But the human being was the perfect man and the perfect God. God, You would help us understand by using You the person of Jesus Christ to come to you through the person of his wonderful person and work will come to you through him to understand the infinite, invisible God, to understand you. And that's what God has done. Now, having said that and done that, and Moses, remember, and all the prophets wrote, and you know the very first prophet, Moses, wrote. And all prophets wrote. They heard, understood, and wrote. And you read, these things have I written unto you. So we have a written, continuous record. Little bump along the way, but never a problem to lose the gist and point and accuracy of what God has said. Because, and we did all that, you know, because our Lord Jesus Christ had the Septuagint, the Samaritan Pentateuch, he had all of that in his hand. And it was been translated down the way, and there were things in it that we have them, that he had. And there wasn't a problem. If you really want to know, like we shared last week with Simon Greenleaf, if you really want to know, you will. If you want to know, if you believe, nothing's a problem. If you don't believe, everything's a problem. Simple as that. You have eyesight, and instantly you see, and you don't need a big explanation about eyesight, because you see. And when you believe, God gives you understanding of his wonderful, wonderful person. When you sit down on the pew, it holds you. And you're sitting there, and it is holding you. Not one of you had an investigation of the wood structure, the screw structure, the manufacturer's warranty. You just sat down by sheer faith. Boom. And the pew proves itself to hold you so far. You believe God's word, and God is there to say, you're right. I'm right. What you're going to read is right. And he won't say it like that. You'll just know it. You'll just know it in your heart. Just like you know when you see. Just like you know when you're alive. I don't think anyone had to describe for you this morning that you, when you woke up, assuming you did, that you were alive. Didn't you all realize you were alive? Some of you did. You're alive. Now, having said that, and keeping that in the forefront, there is, as you know, we'll do them quickly, over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The Lord Jesus Christ is the prophet of all prophets. He is the summation of all that God has said and tried to say. And it all centers, it all comes in to him. He puts it all together. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they all point to me. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 2, a point. There is, among other things that he is a mediator. And in verse 5, going there directly, if I may, 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And the word mediator means a go-between, someone to mediate and make for peace, as it were, to unite two parties. A mediator. Christ is the mediator. He's the go-between. All right. Go with me, please, over to 1 John. 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, believer, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have an advocate. If we sin, we have an advocate. The word advocate means someone to come to your aid, someone to come to your help, to come next to you like a defense attorney, someone to come and step forward in court to defend you, the one to come to your aid when sin's there. The Lord Jesus Christ, you'll notice, please, the end of verse 1, the advocate with the Father. Who is this advocate? Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation, fully satisfying a holy, righteous God for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. So, he is the mediator, he is the advocate, the one who comes to our defense, the one who represents us, so that when we have all of the problems that we do and internally and externally, he's there to be our advocate, our comforter, the one, and the word is translated comforter of the Spirit of God, same word. And he is the one to come to our aid. Now, in the light of that, then there is a priest, mediator, advocate, priest. The mediator and advocate are Jesus Christ. The priest, what about the priest? Well, the Messiah is the prophet of prophets. And the prophet prepares for the priest. The Messiah is the priest. Now, go with me, please, in the light of that, over to the book of Exodus, chapter 28. The book of Exodus, chapter 28. In the light of that, Exodus chapter 28, you'll notice in verse 1, and take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest office, even Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. So take all of Aaron's sons, that they may minister. The word minister, the verb, is very intensive, like rolling up your sleeves and boom, gonna put yourself into it. They're gonna minister with eagerness, with fullness, with zeal. Diligence. And the word minister has to do with to serve, to perform, to prepare, to make ready, to execute. It has to do with the worship, office of the offices. You're going to serve me in the office. You're going to serve me in the office, in the ministry of worship, and representing the people before me, and me before the people. You're going to be the ones to represent. Now, that's chosen by God, Aaron is. Now, hang on to that, because over in Exodus 19, while you're here, Aaron and his sons, that's the Aaronic priesthood. But I need to catch this part, because it also pertains to the believers today. In Exodus chapter 19, may I start, please, in verse 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure, very personal, private, precious, all those words, unto me, above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be, verse 6, unto me, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Israel, in the very start, they all were to be priests. All of Israel had the privilege, would have the privilege of being a priest. All of us. Priest. Now hang on to that. That was the promise. And that's what God's plan was. A holy nation, a royal, a wonderful, wonderful priesthood, a kingdom of priests. And that's what they would be. A whole people so related to God that they had access to God and God had access to them. A wonderful, wonderful thing. Thus, now, but sin came along. Sin came along. And their unbelief, you know it down in verse 8 of chapter 19. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord hath spoken we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the people didn't realize they couldn't keep the law. They couldn't do it. They had to trust God. And they had to have believe God, trust God, have faith in God to have it work. But they were all self-sufficient. And God, you tell us, and we're quite able to measure up, to be accountable, to do it. And they held on to this all the way to the end of Joshua. They held on. We can do it. We can. That was the trouble. But they can't do it. And so God, in his wonderful kindness and outworking all of that, Exodus chapter 28. In Exodus chapter 28, picking up, please. The Aaronic priesthood, wonderful priesthood, was going to serve Israel all the days of their life until Christ came. And that was their ministry, their wonderful, wonderful ministry, the priesthood of the house of Aaron, Levites, etc. And they were to do that. And they were to do that in a most wonderful way. This will keep you awake. Hold your finger right here. And go all the way over to Isaiah 61. I don't want to miss this. Isaiah 61. Because I want you to be encouraged about Israel. Be encouraged. God isn't going to lose out anyway. Isaiah chapter 61. In the future, in the millennium, what God are we going to know about your people Israel? The Gentiles are all going to serve them, Israel as a nation, chapter 61, verse 5. But the Gentiles serving them, verse 5, they're going to, and Israel is different, watch, verse 6, 61, 6. But ye, Israel, shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God, and ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourself. They're going to serve you. You are the priest. The whole nation is the priest. Again, but not yet. That was God's intent. The nation of Israel is in totality to represent God, not part of them. The church, believers, the ones that are resting in his finished work, real believers, all of them are meant to represent God. Now, having said that, 28 again of Exodus. Exodus chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse 2. Thou shalt make holy garments unto Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. So you're going to over and over and over again, holy, holy, sanctified. And as they make holy garments, etc. Verse 3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate, set him apart, to consecrate him, that he may minister, serve unto me in the priest's office. He has to have special clothing. And that special clothing, verse 4 I'll read, these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered hat, coat, and a mitre. That's a turban that they make, and a girdle. And they shall make thy holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons. Why? Why do they need this clothing? That they may minister unto me in the priest office. So here is Israel in its wonderful, wonderful position and privilege. And they are to minister. And they're dressed. They couldn't come in regular old clothes. They had to come. They were in the sanctuary. They were before God. They had to have special dress. The high priest had to have very special dress. Very special. And if you look over in verse 36, 28 and 36, and thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, grave upon it like the engravings of a signet. What are you going to write in that pure plate of gold attached by blue ribbon to the turban? What are you going to write on it? Right in front. So anyone that looks, what are they going to see? Holiness to the Lord. So all of the garments, and the priest's garment, the high priest, when he had to be dressed. He couldn't wear his ordinary clothes. Everything he had to have some covering that would cover him and give the impression of something other than what was underneath the skin. Just little old Aaron that needed to get saved and was trusting God. But on the front, he was going to represent Israel as a priest, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the head, from the head to the breastplate, and the shoulders, what was on the breastplate, the 12 tribes of Israel. What was on the shoulders, six tribes. What was on the, and the breastplate, and all of that he had, all of the garments that he had, and they would come dressed from head to toe. He had to be dressed fully in order to enter the tabernacle to the Holy of Holies. He could not go in undressed. Could not go in. He'd die. He had to go in. So here he is. He's going to go to the altar, and he's going to, dressed, and all of them in their linen garments and stuff. And they're going to sacrifice. That's right. They're going to sacrifice, but they got to be dressed. You can't be anyone to sacrifice. You got to be a priest to sacrifice. The priest has to sacrifice. So the priests sacrifice, and they wash and the laver, and then they go through the door of the tent, a tabernacle tent, into the door. And then if they keep going straight, there's the altar of incense right in front of them, little altar, compared to the where they burn the animals. And there's the altar, and on top of it is the frankincense and all of that. That's what the wise men brought, frankincense, incense to him. What gift would you bring? I'll bring him incense and myrrh, etc., and gold. Wow. So here we come in. And here's the frankincense, the incense, the special formula burning, and the fragrance is going up, the smoke is going up in the place. Wow. It has a particular fragrance to it. Wow. God, what is it about? God said, I want you to know, like way back with Noah when he left the ark, the fragrance went up after he left the ark, and God smells the fragrance. The fragrance is sweet smelling, sweet. It's from a sacrifice. Where's the smelling from? It's from the sacrifice, the burnt altering, the burnt animal, the sacrifice, the substitute, and then the lifting it up to God, the priest. And then, in addition to that, having that, is Israel in the front, Israel on the shoulders, and he goes in on a day of atonement, Leviticus 16, etc. He goes in on the day of atonement. Wow. And he has to be fully dressed. And no one else can be in the tabernacle. You can't be no priest in the building at all when he goes in. He must be all alone when he goes in. No one can go with him. Hang on. And in he goes and sprinkles the blood on the mercy seat in the ark. And then it steps out. Wow. Once a year. Hang on to that. Here's all the priests. And do you know, they sacrifice. And they burn the incense every day. And they did it. And it wasn't the priest. It wasn't Israel. It was what they represented, the one, the Christ, the Messiah, the priest. The priest of all priests. That had a legitimate right to sacrifice. The sinless Son of God was the sacrifice. He is the fragrance on that altar on the inside that rises up. He is the one who steps through the curtain into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. He's the only one, and the high priest, Israel's high priest, the house of Aaron, representing that movement. Wow. He's the priest of all priests. Wow. That's right. And having all that wonderful, wonderful access to God, and they had that, they didn't understand the privilege that they had. Do you know that they all could have been priests? They all could have enjoyed this unique relationship to God? But they didn't. They didn't. Do you know that believers right now, the real, 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 truly believers, they have a unique personal relationship to God? Do they or don't they? Do they all enjoy that? Do they even dare to exercise it? No, in a crisis, I got a cancer, I got to pray. They have no sense of being in the presence of God and having legal, rightful access to God. To be able to say, Father, my Father. Isn't that legit? Isn't it? Do they do that? Do the believers enjoy that? Now, so here's going, looking. Here's the Old Testament moving down the corridor of time. And you know, as that, moving along if I can, account of Aaron. And Aaron represents the high priest in this case. And so we're going to go and move into where? Into the one place that expels it out fully. And that is the book of Hebrews. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is the prophet. He's the priest. All of them pointed, Aaron and that, all of those ministries that Aaron had would come to an end. They would serve the purpose. None of them were sufficient. So the book of Hebrews is given to believing Jews to wake up and perk up and get going. Now, over if you would please, to the book of Hebrews. If I may, picking up, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the perfect substitute. He's the perfect sacrifice. He's the perfect propitiation. He satisfies God. God is satisfied. He is able to go all the way to God. All the way. He came from God and goes back to God. Now, hang on. Over to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews in chapter 3. I'm just letting it say what it says. Hebrews chapter 3. Picking up. Verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, believers, pay attention. Consider the apostle, the sent one, and high priest of your profession or confession, Christ Jesus. He is the mediator, the advocate, the high priest, the prophet. He's all of them. Now, consider him. Verse 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him. Remember, no priest took that honor unto himself. You never appointed yourself priest. You did not appoint priest. priests were God's doing. Man had nothing to do with it. Now, verse 2, was faithful to him that appointed him, so as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Chapter 5. For every priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. Why? That he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity, failure, like Aaron and his sons would be. For, and by reason hereof, he ought as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And remember all the sins, Day of Atonement, he had to offer his own for himself. And then he had to offer for the people finally. But he had to put his own self first and pay the price for his own sin and recognize the sacrifice for that. Now, in verse 4, for no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God as was Aaron, as Moses, the prophet, the priest. He is Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. He didn't make himself a high priest. God did. The perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. God made him high priest. God did. Watch. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that saith said unto him, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. A wonderful, wonderful record of God's doing. Now, chapter 10, high priest, God, are you the one? And I need to understand everything that Aaron and the priesthood represented all pointed to. Was unable to solve the problem of sin, but it showed the way to solve the problem in the person of the Messiah, the Christ, the High Priest of God. Chapter 10 and verse 1, you know. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. Wouldn't need to do it anymore if it was sufficient, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. It would have been all settled, but it never was settled for them. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. We have to go through this. That's right. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It won't work with it's a wrong sacrifice. It doesn't answer the righteousness of God. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. A body, a wonderful, wonderful thing. And verse 8, I'll read it for the context. Verse 6, in burnt offering and sacrifice of sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, to do thy will, O God. It's been written from Moses all the way down the line. They were telling you, born, I have to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. I have to go to the cross. Don't you understand? Everyone has been telling you from Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. Everyone has been telling you. Our Lord Jesus would say to the Father, it has to be. It just has to be. Lo, I come in the volume of the book to do it. It is written of me. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, in verse 11. Every priest standeth daily Well, I'm going to have to go up a bit. I don't move that fast. Then said he, verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By which will, God's will, we are sanctified, set apart, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. That's why, you know, the temple, the book of Hebrews had to be written before 70 AD, because the temple went down by Titus. So it has to be written back here. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, verse 11, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected, completed forever, them that are set apart and sanctified. God has done something wonderful, wonderful for us. Now, having said that, go over with me, if you would, hold your finger here, and over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2. And if I can, I'm going to hold your finger there too, and go chapter, I'm just switching it, make it a little easier. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, you're keeping your hand in 1 Peter 2. Hebrews 10, 19, I want to introduce that. Hebrews 10, 19. This high priest, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, on the other side of the holy place, the holiest of all, holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. So we're able to come near to God. Verse 23. With a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession. You started that in chapter 3, verse 1. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful that promised. Now, here we are. The Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that Aaron could only go in once a year, fully dressed, all the gear on, with the blood. He only can go in once a year. And the curtain was closed. No one went on the other side. No one. Except the high priest once a year. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one, the priest of all priests, satisfies. You don't need any more animals, no more animals, no more substitutes. He is the perfect substitute, the perfect Savior. And he goes through all the way from the altar, all the way in to the Holy of Holies, to the ark, to the mercy seat, and sits down. It's his. There's no more anymore. The veil is gone, rent in two, remember. And having been rent in two, it's open. No one's there. So God, what does that do for us? Why do I need to know that? Because, over 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a what? An holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. How so? Because of, by means of, our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, not believing, the stone which the builders disallowed, rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, unbelieving. Whereunto also they are appointed, they don't believe. But, verse 9, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. And God has taken a unique and wonderful thing he's done. He's taking the whosoever that believeth and placed him in his son. God has placed the believing believer in his son. As he's the head, they're the body. And where the priest sits, the believer sits. That's why Ephesians 2 and 6 and 7. Don't you know you are seated where? In heavenly places already. You're already seated there. When he sat down, you sat down. Priest. Israel, you threw away a precious, wonderful privilege. They're going to get it. But not yet. In the meanwhile, here we are, standing around trying to do the best we can as we can. Now, and in the light of that, over in Hebrews chapter 9, all kinds of things, I'm just mumbling, just to get you to understand a little. Hebrews chapter 9, would you pick up, please? In verse 14, you read it. Oh, no, it's in verse 9. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works in order to serve the living God as a priest? You're going to be able to come and serve him, minister to him, worship, honor him. God in you and you in God. Wow. Now, over to verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures. It wasn't a tabernacle or a temple that Christ went into. He went into heaven itself. He went into before a holy God, the Most High God, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for you. He's there. The priest represented Israel. Remember the names all on the chest, breastplate, on the shoulder? The priest stood there. And if you looked at him, you see Israel represented. When you see all of humanity, including Israel, represented in the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, God, is that why you're there? The veil is broken. The blood opened the door, satisfied God. Verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself, often as the high priest entereth into the holy places, every year with the blood of others. You don't have to do that, no. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, age, hath he appeared, to put away sin, how so? By the sacrifice of himself, he satisfied God, he satisfied the altar, etc. Verse 27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. God, why are we surely saved? Why are we able to come to you? Because of the person and work of our great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is there. He is there, so we are there. The same as when the high priest Aaron went in before the ark and the mercy seat, all Israel was presented before God in the person of the high priest, in his dress, in his 12 tribes on the shoulder. When you look at him, you see all of Israel. all of Israel as God sees them. All of Israel as they were meant to be, as they shall be. Wow. So here we are. Here we are in our little place here. And God, you have to help us. All right. Over to, if you would, over to chapter 2. Chapter 2. I'll try and do it just 1, 2, 3. Ready? Chapter 2, verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, tested, put on trial, he is able to succor, to come to the aid of them that are tempted and put on trial. So what do I know about this, our Lord Jesus Christ, right now? He's the Word of God. He's the priest. And what do I know about the priest? What do I know about my relationship, your relationship to God? Here we are on, because of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to help us. The high priest is able to effectively communicate, to provide, to care on behalf of God, because God is there. He represents God. He is God. And thus he goes what? He said, I'm able to help you. Over to chapter 4. Chapter 4. Verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our shortcomings, our weaknesses, our humanness, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, how can we, as priest, qualified to come there? You have to qualify. You have to be, you don't appoint yourself priest. You have to be chosen to be a priest. God chose his son. And in Christ, the priest, you all have the privilege of the priesthood. Right now. Right now. Wow. Hang on. One more. Over if you would. Chapter 13. Chapter 13. And in chapter 13, God encouraging the believing heart, having to go outside the gate. The world doesn't want anything to do with it, but it's God's wonderful way, that by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. Chapter 13, picking up, please. Verse 13. 13, 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. What was the errand in your, what's your, to serve God, to honor God, to thank God, to recognize his wonderful, the wonderful, wonderful Creator is caring wonderfully, continually for his creation. If the creation would wake up, God's never misses a trick. Wow. We're able to offer praise to the Lord continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And we're able to say we've done it how many? 100 times. You learn the key word. You practice in everything. Before anything, you say thank you. Before you start your prayer, thank you, God. Before you do anything, thank you. When you get out of bed, thank you. Before you eat, thank you. The car hits a tree, thank you. You keep going, thank you. That's a starting point. Ah. Now, and thus, in the light, we're priests, that's right. We offer sacrifices. And you say, well, boy, Well, we don't have to do the animals. No, we have greater than that, and you know it. Well, let's go and turn on our way in closing. Romans chapter 12, you know. But let us see it in front of us if we can. God, here we are, believers, just nobody's able to look to you with great thanksgiving. Chapter 12, God, and remember that chapter 12 is summing up all of the previous wonderful truth of Romans. Chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, rational service. It's the only thing to do. God doesn't need you to die. He wants you to live for him. He don't want you to die. If I could just sacrifice. No, I want you to live. I sacrificed so you could live. The sacrifice. I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to enjoy being alive on planet Earth, able to have complete, full access to all that I am, said God. And that I have complete, full access to all that you are. And they have a unique relationship. You are priest of the Most High God. You are members of his body. You have a unique personal relationship in the grace of God, Jew and Gentile, in this unique period of history until he comes. Wow. Oh, woman at the well, I know the Messiah is coming. Aha. The Lord Jesus, remember the next verse, 26. I am the Messiah. I am the prophet of prophets. I am the priest of priests. I'm sitting down right next to you. Wow. That's why she isn't going to bother even getting her water. She didn't even get water. She left the pot and ran. To tell him, hey, do you know who's here? You see, we got believers today don't know who he is. You got Christmas coming up, born in Bethlehem of Judea, something, somehow, someone, a baby, and the baby, maybe a baby, maybe something, who knows, you know. No, dear friend, we have a wonderful Savior, a wonderful God, who is very, very personal. And he needs to be, because he made us persons just like himself. Wow. That's pretty neat. And all the rest of it, you goof and lose. Oh, well, I'm a Christian. No, I want to be more than a Christian. I want to be a healthy, happy, heavenly, holy believer that is believing. Did that come out right? We'll pray. Our God and Father, set apart the time and all of it, God, what can we do? It's way above and beyond all the magnificence of this. So deal with our heads and our hearts and help us that we would be the immediate beneficiaries of the moment. And that our God, you would do the wonderful thing you do even this day that is set apart. Honor yourself, and we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps you would like to sing a stanza with me, please. 546. 546. Spirit of God. First stanza.